Hey guys, before we jump in, I want to invite you to follow me on socials. You can follow me on Twitter at WhatIWillSayPod, on Instagram at WhatIWillSay, also on TikTok at WhatIWillSay, and of course, WhatIWillSay.tumblr.com will take you to my blog where you can keep up with my day-to-day pop culture takes. If you want to support the show, you can do so on Patreon. Just search WhatIWillSay to access hours upon hours of bonus content, our secret community Discord, and so much more. Or if the Patreon's not for you, you can give us a 5-star rating and a good review, or even just tell a friend about the show. All of those things help us out a lot. Thanks guys, enjoy the show.
So this happened a while ago, but it was like in October, and I think Carly had just announced that she was pregnant, and I was like, I need a Gaylor break. And like the last time I had tried to do this, I was like, let me watch Gossip Girl, and then Carly showed up in an episode.
I remember you telling me that.
Yeah, and then so this time I did it, and like it was literally like probably the day after Carly announced her pregnancy. And I was like, let me take a quick Gaylor break. And I was like, let me go to Hulu and I'll just watch the first thing that pops up. And the first thing that popped up was What to Expect When You're Expecting. Which is, of course, Anna Kendrick's in that. So that's why it's like was suggested to me. But it was just kind of funny. Like, you can never really escape Gaylor.
You kind of can't. It's like Taylor Swift in her little way infiltrates your little gay brain and rewires it so that she's just everywhere in your life.
Yeah. So, guys, I think this is going to be our Christmas special. Welcome to a very special episode. I don't know why I associate this ship with Christmas, but I do.
I think it's because it happened around Christmas time. Like, some of the stuff it was did. Like holiday season.
We are going to talk about Haylor today. Yep. And since we're a Gaylor Swiftgron podcast, I mean, I am going to try and debunk it. But there's some things about Haylor, honestly, there's a few things where I'm just kind of like, you know, and I hate that. My original idea for this was to have someone on or to get Kara to know so much about Haylor that somebody could go through a Haylor timeline and we could have a big old debate about it. But fuck that. Like, who cares about, you know, good faith debate in terms of giving Hitler's platforms? We don't need to do that. So I think we're just going to go through the Haylor timeline and just talk it out with one another, because neither of us are really experts, although I have learned a lot about it.
Can I say, like, off the bat, my feelings on Haylor and see how they change by the end? Because I have not read their full timeline before.
I mean, you've really been in my DMs lately just being a Haylor.
So the thing is, my take on Haylor is this. Like, I'm a very, very, very skeptical Gaylor, as probably anyone who's listened to this podcast, like, obviously knows, or anyone who's in the Discord. So I'm a 50-50 type of person. Half the time I believe the Gaylor stuff, half the time I don't. The half when I try, well, when I try to be, you know, the most kind of fair and rational that I can manage to be, my view of Haylor is that it was a setup, because they obviously were like the biggest boy pop star, you know, boy band kind of, and then America's sweetheart, Taylor Swift, you know, kind of like country pop girl. And I think that there could have been some genuine feelings there, maybe more on Taylor's part than on Harry's. And I think it was a mind for like absolutely as much PR as they could possibly get out of it. But I think it's possible that there was something real there. I don't know. I don't think it was what we were sold as, like, you know, their relationship, because it just, there's too many things that don't really add up for that. And that's kind of how I feel about it. I think that it's possible she dated both Diana and Harry. Or sometimes I think she just dated Harry. Sometimes I think she just dated Diana. Like, it really depends on the day. But yeah, that's generally my like feeling of it, is that there could have been something real between them. Definitely wasn't what we were told. And there was 110% a PR/marketing bent to their relationship, whatever that relationship was. So
yeah, I don't know that. I mean, since you're very, you really cover all your bases, which is like, could be something, could not be something, like, literally that's basically okay, what you up. Just said. So we start off on March 31st, which of course we know is a SwiftCon day, right? That's the day of the Kids Choice Awards, March 31st 2012. Taylor is pictured dancing to What Makes You Beautiful, along with Selena and Katie. So somebody says they overheard Taylor chatting to Justin Bieber and telling him how hot she found Harry. that night. That's a source that said after the Kids' Choice Award. What I'm reading right now is on Taste of Country, and it says Taylor Swift rumored to have a crush on One Direction boy band member. Gossip columnists all sort of got told by a quote-unquote source, which I've kind of read that if a source or a friend ever is saying something, but they're sort of unnamed, it's just a publicist. Who knows if that's true, but they said Taylor is a huge One Direction fan and was excitedly bopping along to the boys when they performed on stage. Then she was chatting to Justin Bieber and told him how hot she found Harry. Justin was joking about trying to keep his own girlfriend, Selena Gomez, away from the band because she loves them too. Taylor went backstage and was hanging around by the group's dressing room and said a quick hello to the guys. She started dramatically fanning herself afterwards, making out like she was overwhelmed, which got everyone laughing. She really likes Harry, but made Justin promise not to go on record about it.
Okay, so to me this says, fanfic. Who knows this much detail about that, all of that? Like,
and is also Taylor talking herself. To the press. Yeah.
Right, right. Like, Taylor or like maybe Justin, but then it says he went on record to promise Justin not to go on record about it, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just the other thing is Taylor hates Justin. And I think she's like disliked him for a long time. I know she sort of publicly was like making gross faces at him like a year later at one of the other award shows. She sort of publicly had distaste for him a year after this. But I don't think she's like, Justin, let me tell you about my crush on Harry Styles. Like, come on.
Like, yeah, I mean, you know, the most I could believe is that she said to him, like, oh, that, like, Harry's really hot or something. But, like, all this detail.
Somebody overheard it. But, like, yeah, all this detail, like, come on. Like, and it's a source. So that's a publicist, probably. Mm-hmm. Like, even if there's some truth to it, it's still, like, this is a planted article. The way they have, like, the Kids' Choice Awards, Justin being named, One Direction being named, Selena Gomez being named, and Harry being, it's just, like, teeny bopper clickbait. It's very contrived, right? Like it's very yeah. See-through in that, you know, this is like just to get clicks. So you know, did that really, I don't think it happened like that. I could see, you know, maybe her being like, oh, you know, that Harry's really cute, but let's remember at this point Harry has just turned 18 and Taylor is 21. Or no, is she 22 at this point?
Yeah. I think so.
Taylor, Harry has just turned 18 and Taylor is 22 now. She's 4 years older than he is, a little bit over 4 years older than he is. And like, you know, I do think like, I guess once you're kind of an adult, if you're a celeb, all celebs sort of have the same access to everything. And like, it's not like either of them have had normal lives for a long time because they've both been famous for years at this point, but like the age difference in Taylor is kind of weird.
Yeah
So that happens on March 31st and Harry tweets later that night, I feel incredibly lucky to have the life that I do. I met some amazing people today and had a lot of fun. Thank you so much, X. You know, Harry was, One Direction was very active on Twitter. One Direction's fandom was, I think, Stan, massive. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Stan Twitter, I think part of it might have to do with One Direction.
Like, probably. I think it was around before that, but yeah, that era of like time is when I feel like at least fandoms like blew up. It was like One Direction and Glee too. Yeah.
Glee was huge on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a documentary about One Direction fans and Twitter was, they talked about Twitter a lot. So the boys were always tweeting and fans were always on Twitter. And I mean, that's very common today for any band and any, like, anything has a Twitter fandom if it's worth anything. So this podcast doesn't have one, but that's fine. Let's keep it that way. Like, One Direction was very big on Twitter.
I don't know. Is it really important?
No, I'm just kind of trying to think about how often Harry tweeted stuff like this, because I think he did it quite a bit. So I don't think it was something
special. Oh yeah, I think he did.
On April 1st, Liam Payne from One Direction gets interviewed and he's joking about Harry meeting Taylor. And he said, I think Harry might have went to the bathroom just a little bit when we met her.
Ew.
On April 5th, Justin Bieber invited both Taylor and One Direction to his LA mansion, where they all swim and just hang out. Bieber told Britain's Daily Mirror that one of the biggest artists in the world thinks Harry is so hot, but I have been sworn to secrecy. So here's Justin Bieber again, like, shipping Haley being
like, oh, I wonder who one of the biggest artists right off the bat, could possibly be.
I did not know how Justin Bieber heavy this episode was going to be. Like, right. Why is he so involved? It just seems like this is just all very contrived. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, it definitely reads that way. Because and I feel like a lot of times when you can pinpoint someone's, like, exact public meeting, and then it's like there's articles released about it and stuff, like, it's like, you know, it seems more organic when someone's just kind of shows up with someone else than like when it's like, you know,
maybe they just show up at a flea market, maybe they're in love,
exactly, you know? maybe their brother goes on his Facebook and talks about how one of them put their foot in their mouth when they talked about Kanye West. I mean, it happens.
Are we saying that Jason Agron is the Justin Bieber of Swiftgron? Like,
no, I think that would be Ashley Abingdon.
No, Ashley definitely is. Yeah. So that's supposedly the Kids' Choice Awards, by the way, as it's been said, but hey, this is a Swiftgron podcast, so I'm gonna repeat it again. We know that Taylor went to Diana's house party after the Kids' Choice Awards. So however horny she was for Harry Styles that night, it wasn't enough for her to not hang out with Diana. So I feel like that's important. And also, during the What Makes You Beautiful performance, the camera is panning around the crowd, and I have this video fully in the master post at swiftgronmasterpost.tumblr.com, but it pans over to Taylor 5 different times. And I mean, her group was just like rocking out and having fun, and they all do look very cute, but it also just feels a little like, just kind of right off the bat, before Haley is even incepted, they're using it for, you know, views. They're selling things with it. They're selling One Direction, and you know, it's just interesting. Then, yeah, so April 5th, supposedly there is a pool party. The Justin Bieber, One Direction, Taylor Swift pool party. Again, I think I read that on Wattpad.
I mean, I just think it's hilarious. And I'm not saying it didn't happen, but I just think it's hilarious to picture Justin Bieber, of all people, being like, okay, One Direction, you guys want to come to my house for a pool party, and I'm going to invite Taylor Swift, and then Taylor and Harry can finally hang out, but, like, I'm sworn to secrecy.
Yeah, like, what is all of that?
What?
And then the next day, One Direction, they're in One Direction has gone to New York to be on SNL, which is interesting because Taylor does show up in New York, but she spends the whole time with Diana, and the boys tease Harry about Taylor. So somebody's sort of asking what they've been up to. And we're going to have to talk about Larry a little bit, I think, on this episode, because Harry says, Taylor Swift was there too. And Louis goes, oh yeah, yeah, that's the one, jackpot. And seems to just be trolling him about it. And Louis's reactions to Taylor, and I don't even know that I believe in Larry, but like,
we're not Larry's, just like, let's keep that clear.
We know, but we've been very clear that like, we're like, not Larry's, because right, the Larry fandom is just sort of out of control, right, and we don't relate with any of that.
But
and
I do like, think we're both open to the idea of anything, so like the thought that they may have hooked up, or Louis just like teasing him because he knows that they're fake, like I think both of those are possible. I mean, right. I don't think that they're in a secret relationship or anything like that, but like, you never know. I mean,
So on April 8th, Taylor's seen out about New York City, and of course we know One Direction boys are in New York as well. Now, of course, we know on April 7th, Megan P on Twitter spotted Emma Stone, Taylor Swift, and Diana Agron enjoying a late dinner at Otto. On April 8th, they spent time together at the Bowery Hotel. A One Directioner was there, and she tweeted, so One Direction never showed up to the Bowery Hotel, but Taylor Swift, Diana Agron, Josh Groban, and Aziz Ansari.
Oh, this is funny too, that apparently someone tweeted on April 8th, they tweeted at Taylor Swift, I saw you today in the Russian Military Museum. Your boyfriend is so hot. And they say Harry in parentheses, as in like the person, the Haler person who's tweeting this. I don't think Harry is the mystery guy, because I think people would know who he was. Or they would at least look into it a bit and then be like, oh, that's Harry Styles. Like, you know, like, they were the same level of fame. Like, I don't think he... that sounds like it's probably just a bullshit tweet.
Right.
Honestly.
I also... This might be the episode where we drag the Haler timeline creator, because they literally say in the next tweet, they say One Direction and Taylor rumored to be at the Bowery Hotel together. And the tweet they post is that one that says, so One Direction never showed up.
Wait, what?
But Taylor Swift and Agron were there. So, like, they're not rumored to be together. They're rumored to not be together.
I think it is.
Yeah, it's really not this, like, come on. By the way, she was there with her girlfriend, Diana Agron. So that's kind of funny. So, again, we have Diana being in between Haler is a theme from the start of Haler. So, on the Kids' Choice Awards night, Taylor goes to Diana's house after that. Then, when they're in New York City, Diana and Taylor are seen together, seen together, seen together. Harry and Taylor are not. Now, does that prove anything? No, but it's just interesting that Diana is in the midst of Haler from the very get. From the very first night all the rumors start, you know, is a big Swift Grind night. And then Taylor being in New York, everybody says, oh, she went out there to see Harry. Well, Diana had to go to New York for work too. And who is she with, right? Like, it's almost, I hate that it all lines up that, okay, Taylor went to New York just to see Harry, or she went to New York to be with Diana. But I will say,
right,
she's spotted with Diana twice. So, you know, points to Swift Run, I would say. So now everybody starts to ask Harry about Taylor anywhere he goes. So on April 16th, he's getting interviewed by an Australian newspaper, and it's very weird. It's kind of...
He's wearing a cute little sweater. Zane's so cute.
I don't like it when anybody asks celebs about their personal lives. It's always kind of awkward, but Harry's very reserved. I guess maybe he's always like, he just always seems really, really chill. He always seems a little stoned to me. I'm not a big Harry fan, so this is all sort of new to me, but they ask him if he's texting Taylor Swift, and he like pauses for like, he doesn't even say anything. And then the interviewer goes, oh, dramatic pause. I like it. And like, Harry really looks like he does not know what to say. And then he just says, we met in America. We're friends. She's really nice. And it's just, I don't know. I'm not, I don't love like the body language expert shippers that come along and say like, oh, well, since they looked at each other and brushed their nose, it actually means they're all fucking all of that.
Right.
So I don't know what it all means. He does seem weird. He doesn't seem very relaxed about her. So that could be because he likes her and he doesn't want to mess it up by talking about her. It could be because, there's nothing between them and he doesn't know what he's supposed to say about it. But tragedy strikes on April 23rd. Harry is caught kissing Emily Ostilli, whoever the fuck that is, in New Zealand. And supposedly, according to the Taylor source in the Vanity Fair article, he texts Taylor about this and he warns her and he says, there are going to be pictures of me kissing a friend goodbye. And when she searched for the pictures, she saw them making out. It wasn't just a simple kiss goodbye.
I don't know why that's so funny to me.
On April 25th, supposedly, now, of course, we all know what Taylor's up to at this point. On April 23rd, or April 24th, Taylor spotted shopping at Victoria's Secret, and then she spends all night hanging out with Diana and Ashley and Claire. And late that night, Diana tweets, date me, and all of that. See, like,
I have to say, one thing about the Victoria's Secret thing,
mm-hmm,
is one, why is Taylor Swift shop at Victoria's Secret? Like, girl, you're rich as fuck. Victoria's Secret, like, they have some nice stuff, but it's not, like, Taylor Swift level, you know? Two, it's hilarious that she was there shopping alone, like, by herself, like, in a Victoria's Secret. Like, that's just so
with
funny.
Her little earphones.
Yeah,
with her little earbuds in, like, just
it's
walking
so
around the mall.
Odd. And then, like, third, it's, like, I don't really think it's necessarily relevant to anything, honestly. But it's just funny.
Yeah. My theory is that she was getting like lingerie for Diana or something, and so she couldn't get like her usual people to order it because it wouldn't be like, I guess, her size or like her usual preference, and so they would have known something was up. And I don't know, so she had to go to the store and buy herself. I don't know.
Why is she in Victoria's Secret though, girl?
Because they're hanging out that night. And
yeah, but there's so many nicer places that like someone who's that rich could go to.
I cannot explain Taylor. This is the problem I'm running into. Like, everybody wants me to answer for every weird thing Taylor does, and I can't explain.
We just don't know.
We just don't know. But what's so hilarious is that Taylor's like supposedly so obsessed with Harry Styles at this point, like, but you hop over to the SwiftCon master post and it's just like, oh, here's this gay as fuck night where she dressed up and they wore flower crowns and they took super intimate photos together, and Taylor's at Victoria's Secret, and then Diana's tweeting, I'm gonna kiss your cat and I want you to date me, and like Taylor's just like crickets, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. it's very funny. So the Taylor posts Instagram the day after that, and she talks about how, you know, she woke up at 1 p.m. So she must have been up late doing something. And she posts several pictures of like the pancakes she made and like some other stuff she's up to. And she also posts she's listening on her like little iPod, Screaming Infidelities, which is, you know, it's a song about somebody, I guess, out cheating on you. I don't read into that. The only thing I think is interesting is that it's a Dashboard Confessional song, right? But she has this woman cover, some woman covered it. And so we know Taylor loves a woman singing a man's point of view, don't we?
Yeah, it's her new favorite thing in 2020.
Except it's really been her thing forever.
But and now this it's is, like, every song is
this is also the point in time where the alert Anon shows up on the L chat to let people know that Diana and Taylor content is coming, which is like one of the mysteries of the world.
That is a weird
that I'll never understand.
Like, is it possible?
I think it had to be Ashley and Claire. No, well, people do get lucky, but I think it had to be Ashley or Claire. So what's so funny is that you have all these iconic Haler moments happening, and Diana's ass is involved in all of them. So in this one, mm-hmm. it's Taylor posts Screaming Infidelities, but it's after she slept in all day, after hanging out with Diana all night. And it's just like, all right, okay, Taylor, like, sure, you're mad about Harry kissing some bitch. Harry and Taylor like don't do anything for the rest of the summer. Meanwhile, we get into the SwiftCon summer, which of course I've gone in detail, but so, you know, Harry disappears and you get the SwiftCon summer with, you know, Diana's birthday and Taylor's, you know, writing all these love songs, and they're hanging out all the time. They go out, you know, they go out to Hyenas Port. Harry's gone. And then at the end of August, Taylor posts a picture of Times Square, and her music video is like up on the big screen, but there's also a picture of One Direction next to her. So people think, oh, she's signaling about Harry. But she's dating Connor Kennedy at this point, which I don't think either relationship was real, but like, I love how Haler shippers are like, fuck Connor Kennedy, basically. Like,
right.
That's like while they're together. So then they introduce Taylor on MTV's VMA on the promo. The One Direction introduces Taylor. And it says the boys tease him about it, but I've watched the video and they don't really do anything. So they're just like, here's Taylor Swift. She's great.
Well, it is interesting. It says on September 6th, they were spotted at LA's Katsuya restaurant with Ed Sheeran and Taylor's bandmates. And they posed separately for photos with fans inside the sushi restaurant.
Yep.
That's a little sus to me.
Well, she's with Connor at this point.
September 6th?
Yeah. They were together through October.
That's weird. Because, like, to be honest, Connor, I don't think Connor was a real, like, relationship in a classic sense, but I don't think it was, like, a PR romance either. Like, I think it was some kind of gray area of her just trying to attach herself to the Kennedys because she was like really obsessed with them at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So if anything, I think the relationship with Connor would be the one that's not as fake, if that makes sense. So it's a little weird that they were like hanging out at a sushi restaurant or something if she's like actually with Connor.
Yeah. Now they're both friends with Ed Sheeran. But you know what's funny is Taylor doesn't admit to cheating in any of her music following this. Like,
mm-hmm.
Not that she would, you know, I mean, she doesn't have to, but they are at the same restaurant hanging out with Ed Sheeran while she is supposedly involved with Connor Kennedy. I mean, not supposedly, according to her team and her, she is. To me, it's because it was never all that serious or real with Connor. Like, then the One Direction boys are doing interviews, and when they ask Harry who his crush is, or they ask the boys who their crush is, Zayn whispers Taylor Swift to Harry. What I kind of love is the dark shipping that the One Direction boys are doing to Harry about Taylor. Like, they really seem to have gone full. If this is like a PR situation, they really are dedicated to it. It's kind of funny. But the last time you see Connor and Taylor together is September 16th. And in October, it says they had quietly parted ways a while ago. It was just a distant thing. No hard feelings. They're fine. A source revealed that in October. In late September, Harry gets a tattoo. It's like, it's a banner that has love on it. And the actor that plays Taylor's love interest in the I Knew You Were Trouble music video ends up having the same tattoo. And they do a few matching tattoos, including one that Harry had not even gotten yet when they filmed the music video. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But
what the fuck?
Yeah. No, wait. Yeah. I'm telling you, wait till you see this shit. In early October, Taylor and Harry are both in London for the BBC Radio 1 Teen Awards, and Taylor's doing promo for Red. Of course, we know Taylor's just been with Diana in Paris. And so, of course, here it goes again. Diana just butting her head in rudely to ruin Haler.
Yeah.
And Harry tweets, good morning, listening to you might also like Paper Aeroplanes, and I do. And the Haler shipper that made this thread says, alluding to the paper airplane necklace he will give Taylor later on in the month. I don't know that it is alluding to that, but they seem to think it is. When Harry's being interviewed by Capital FM, Harry chooses to play We're Never Ever Getting Back Together by Taylor. The interview then asks Harry if he's trying to send some type of message by picking the song. And Taylor is on Nick Grimshaw's radio show. That Nick same Grimshaw, day.
Didn't he have rumors with Harry? Or is this someone else?
Yeah, he lived with him.
That's even weirder.
Yeah, so...
Wait, whoa, that's fucking weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's... he and Harry live together, and, I mean, the Larrys hate him because, you know, the Larrys are very much like the Strong Kalers in that,
like... 100%.
It's like, no, not only were they together, but they are together, they're married, they're monogamous, they're living together, they're together, and... You know,
I just don't get that. It's mindset.
I don't either. Well, I think it's just optimistic people. Nobody.
It just requires too much denial of reality.
Right. I would never imagine that my OTP would end up together. I'm far too pessimistic for that.
I can understand, like, you know, like, but I feel like it just requires too much denial of reality where it's easier to just be like, oh, you know what? Maybe they had a thing. Maybe they were off and on, maybe this and that. You can, even if you want to romanticize, like, they still have feelings for each other, they're still writing about each other, you know, whatever. But like,
me about Sir Fran.
Yeah. But to just like completely be like, no, I refuse to accept anything other than that every single relationship is completely fake in PR. They're secretly married, they've never broken up, They've never cheated on each other. They've never had an open relationship. They've just been hidden this whole time. It's like, all right, let's step back into reality here for a second.
Yeah. I mean, it should be said Nick Grimshaw, like, denied ever having anything with Harry, but he is out as gay. Nick is, and they definitely live together, which doesn't prove
Harry's
anything.
Harry's out as
no label.
Not straight.
Yeah. But Taylor appears on Nate Grimshaw's radio show, so that's kind of funny. So she's still out in Europe. Then on October 6th, this is the next day, Harry and One Direction are now on Nick's show, and they talk about Taylor for 4 minutes straight. And Nick teases Harry by saying "Oi, Swiftie" over and over and over again when she's brought up in conversation, which now we have another guy that Harry has rumors with, both Nick and Louie, just really making a whole big hubbaloo about Haler. It's just so weird.
It's weird.
Mm-hmm. Right? It's very weird. And then on October 6th, Taylor is on Jonathan Ross's show, and she hints at having a good-looking boyfriend. So he asks her who she's seeing, and she says, "I don't talk about it." And the guy, here's what's funny. The guy says, "Is he a weird-looking fellow?" And Taylor goes, "Oh, no." And so the Haler shipper who has made this timeline says she has hinted at having a good looking boyfriend, and she meant Harry. My subreddit ass is like, oh, she wasn't dating a guy at the time. Like,
yeah.
Because he said, "Is he a weird looking fella?" And she goes, "No." So it's clearly she's talking about Diana.
I mean, she's talking about the most beautiful woman on earth, of course. Like, come on, it's obvious.
Clearly. So on October 6th, Taylor also tweets, "I feel like I'd be more understood if people knew 'I don't want to miss a thing' by Aerosmith is how most emotions sound in my head," which just seems like a joke about how dramatic she is. But the Haler shipper who made this timeline is saying Taylor most likely is referring to her relationship with Harry.
Yeah, no, that just sounds like a joke to me.
Yeah. So moving right along to October 7th. On the BBC One Radio Teen Awards in London, apparently Haler spends a lot of time together backstage. Leading radio host Aled Jones to speculate on air about whether or not they're romantically involved. The Sun reported that Taylor and a mystery member of One Direction had arranged to have dinner after the concert. However, the tabloid's Bizarre columnist received a tip about the reservation when a tip about the reservation went in to this magazine or gossip site or whatever, the meal is suddenly canceled. I don't know what any of that means. In mid or late October, Harry does an interview in 17's November issue, and he names Taylor as to be on his hot list along with Rihanna and Rita Ora.
It's hilarious how she is, like, the absolute odd man out in that.
She really is. I love Taylor, but she's not.
I mean, the thing is with Rita Ora or, like, Rihanna, it's, like, their vibe is, like,
it was very, like, vivacious and, like,
sexy bad girl, sorta. Taylor's, like, America's sweetheart, little blonde.
A little fucking dork. Little fucking dork. Barely dipped her toes into pop. Like, she's over here still singing "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together," whereas, like, Rihanna is a sex symbol icon. Like,
right.
And it's just like, I'm sorry, it's just funny. Then on October 12th, One Direction is on the Late Late Show, and they're asking about Taylor, that dinner that they canceled, I guess, and Harry starts acting coy. And the host also asks Harry if he's been wanting to settle down, and Harry replies, and he says he would like to find someone he likes.
Settle down, he's 18.
I know. Okay, so Harry says, "It's not like I'm looking for someone, but if I met someone who I like, then yeah, I'd settle down." So he's he's literally says he's not looking to date anyone at this point.
Interesting.
Now, of course, grain of salt, if he and Taylor are, like, underground secret at this point, he might be trying to throw people off the scent. But that interview was not very convincing that, you know, he's just met this passionate love affair he's about to have.
Right.
Harry gets, also on October 12th, he gets a tattoo with "Things I Can and Things I Can't," which is apparently something Taylor says.
See, I just don't get Like, why would you be getting full-blown fucking tattoos on your body for someone that you're, like, not even officially dating yet?
It's weird, dude. I don't know. That's actually really weird, because usually tattoos make me think, might be something legit to the relationship.
Yeah, me too, because, like, if you're choosing to fucking permanently
right.
get something on your body, like, that has to be someone who you expect to be in your life forever or for a very long time, or at least to be significant enough in your life that even if you part ways, you still have that as, like, a nostalgic kind of thing to look back on.
So, Diana has, like...
Winston, a warrior, comes in.
A tattoo for Winston, which makes me think they had something real going on. And then Alex Pettifer having a little lamb tattooed on his arm makes me think, okay, he was probably crazy and obsessed with her, and, like, who wouldn't be? And I still think that was PR, but I think there might have been something real to it, too. I think they were definitely hooking up, at least. And he was like, yeah, let me get a tattoo for this girl. But Harry getting a tattoo for Taylor before... they even are officially dating to the public. I mean, if you think Haler is real based on tattoos, it's like you have to think Larry's real too, because they have a bunch of fucking matching ass tattoos.
But they're best friends.
Oh my god, no. Maybe Taylor and Harry were best friends.
No.
Then 5 days later, Harry posts a picture of matching heart tattoos. Instagram, not his own, I guess. I don't know. That has something to do with Taylor. On October 19th, somebody's quoted as saying Taylor really liked Harry, and even though they weren't exclusive, he hinted at making it official with her just before he took off to Australia. It's always a source. It's always a fucking source. He even told Taylor he didn't want her to see anyone else while he was gone. Taylor had her love goggles on and didn't care what anyone had to say about Harry. Then Taylor had all these texts from Harry begging for a chance to her to explain and telling her not to believe everything she reads. She immediately Googles Harry and finds all the stories about him kissing that girl, and she was heartbroken. The Red album's released, and the speculation that some of the songs are about Harry, Treacherous and Come Back Be Here, which... Incorrect.
Convenient how they leave out I Knew You Were Trouble, because they're
Haley Schiffer. They're Haley Schiffer.
Literally, like, she made it so explicit that it was, I mean, I don't think it's about you. She made it so explicit that it was supposed to be about her, but she repurposed it for him.
Yeah.
But they leave that out there. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Niall makes a joke on October 23rd when they're asked on some interview. Harry gets asked about his reputation as a ladies' man, and Niall jokes about Swiftie. Also on October 23rd, Taylor talks about her favorite movie being About Last Night because she likes how the girl gets back with her ex in the movie, which apparently is hinting at her relationship with Harry. This person is making, like, Taylor level reaches. Like, she can like a movie with it not being about Harry.
Yeah, they're reaching for a lot of this, but it's okay.
Let's remember, they've been seen in public twice together now, and he's gotten tattoos for her, supposedly. Then October 25th, the media finally reports that Taylor and Connor Kennedy have broken up. October 30th, Harry ends up wearing his favorite airplane necklace when leaving his management's office with the rest of One Direction. On November 4th, One Direction is interviewed for UK's Cosmopolitan's December issue. Harry tells Cosmo that he is currently dating someone. He says, "There's someone I like. If you're shown in the papers with other girls when you really like someone else, that's difficult. But still, I think it's important if you're thinking about starting a relationship to do it away from the spotlight." And they ask him if he has a type, and he said, "I thought I did, but this girl I like isn't my type. It's more about the person, how they act, their body language, if they can laugh at themselves. I find ambition really attractive too." Oh, that's Taylor. Ambition. "If someone's good at doing something they love, I want someone who's driven." And then Taylor is photographed on November 7th outside her London hotel wearing the paper airplane necklace. Of course, it is a different necklace than the one Harry wears, but it's similar. And we know Taylor loves to signal a boyfriend with a necklace. She also did the same thing with Taylor Lautner, which, of course, I think is bullshit.
Yeah.
Some of the most obvious PR you've ever seen. Because they played boyfriend and girlfriend in Valentine's Day. But, you know, I think he's gay. And she's still wearing it on November 8th. And again, you can definitely see it is a different necklace than his. But it is similar to his and supposed to be his. Niall tells people that his favorite song of 2012 is We're Never Ever Getting Back Together. And then on November 14th, One Direction heads back to London due to scheduled appearance. Harry doesn't get in the plane. Instead of flying to London, he gets on another plane and flies back to LA to see Taylor, which isn't, how do they know that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm confused. They're in France and they say it's an extra 6 hours in the air. No, like if Harry was going to go to LA and then go to the One Direction performance, I don't know how they know he went to LA. There's no like source on that. Then on November 15th, Harry watches Taylor during her X Factor rehearsals in LA. Oh, so on the 14th, they know he's gone to LA because he's like tweeting about it, I guess. So the X Factor USA tweets, together in the lunch line, cheeseburgers laughing and smiling was Harry Styles and Taylor Swift. And somebody else, all X Factor Access, whoever that is, says, I saw Harry Styles throw Taylor Swift over his shoulder to carry her out of X Factor rehearsal today. And they say he's sitting with her mom, Andrea, and she seemed won over too, a source told The Sun. After Taylor finished, he picked her up over his shoulder and carried her to her trailer. They were holding hands and flirting all day. The source continued, Taylor was really embarrassed by what happened. And was nervous about giving him another go. So they're talking about April. But this time they have spent more time getting to know each other. Harry's being careful because he doesn't want to hurt her again. But he's made it clear he likes her a lot. They've been quietly seeing each other again for a little while now. Yeah, I should hope. He's gotten tattoos for her.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to London. And the Taylor shipper is making a really big deal that it was 6 extra hours to go to LA, and so 6 extra hours to go back to London. So he spent an extra 12 hours on a plane to see her. And Mario Lopez mentions that Harry came to see Taylor during her X Factor rehearsal on the radio, and he says they held hands.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ellen tweets about it. She says, hey, Taylor Swift, I heard you might be dating Harry Styles. Is that true? Just between you and me. God, she's obnoxious.
She's so annoying.
And Harry then follows Gary Lightbody on Twitter. And he co-wrote, he was a featured artist for Red, as you guys know, wrote The Last Time with Taylor. And, oh, are you kidding? Harry was in LA to write a song with Snow Patrol, with Something Great. And it's featured on Midnight Memories. That, so he went to LA to meet up with Snow Patrol and write a song, not to necessarily see Taylor. I mean, maybe he did.
Did they write a song?
Yeah. There's tweets. Gary Lightbody's tweeting. He said, Jackknife and I spent the day yesterday working with Harry Styles. We wrote a great song together, even if I do say so myself. And somebody else tweeting about Harry Styles, just followed Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol. So there's like a whole PR promotional situation behind this. And this Twitter account has been like, Harry went to X Factor to see Taylor. Harry went to X Factor to see Taylor. That's the only reason he's in LA.
He's yeah.
They're making it sound like he's like skipping work and he's like calling out of One Direction concerts. He just has to go be with Taylor. And he's literally in LA for work reasons. Like, not that he wasn't there to see Taylor too, but come on. Come on.
Right.
On November 26th, Taylor hints at Harry with this quote. She says, I think the one thing about love is that you don't know anything. It always comes back and surprises you. So I don't have any general theories on love at the moment because they always get proven wrong. And on November 27th, One Directioners interviewed on Barbara Walters, and they asked Harry about dating older women and hint at Taylor, and Harry just says, yeah, like it's very not juicy. On December 2nd, we get the famous them walking around a zoo with her hairdresser's baby.
which is so random.
In Central Park. It's some of the most obvious contrived patwalks you could ever want to see. She also wears a shirt with a fox on it, which is an Easter egg in I Know Places. They are the hunters, we are the foxes, which is why I think she was hinting at that song, and I think she had already written that line. Now, I Know Places is officially recorded at the very beginning of 2014, and a lot of people want to say it's about Carly solely because Kimby Closs, the dumbest person on the internet, liked a tweet that said it was.
Right.
I don't think she knew what she was liking. And also, if y'all are going to take everything Kimby, all of Kimby's likes as gospel, she's sitting around liking Ivanka's Instagram posts, so y'all need to rethink your ship captain. I think Taylor is Easter egging the I Know Places lyric here with the fox sweater, which means she wrote it as far back as the end of 2012, which means it's definitely about Diana. So,
or Harry.
Well, I know you're really going to be in a major Taylor era after this.
Yeah.
But this is December is the big Haler month. But I guess it's worth noting that I think on October 17th, so this is like a month before this, she's written This Love. And I guess we're going to talk about different lyrics and some of her songs are supposed to be about him and some of his songs are supposed to be about her maybe at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
I think it's psychotic to write This Love about a week-long fling in April and then he comes back to her and they would have been together for about 6 weeks if you're going off the Ed Sheeran spotting in the restaurant, the sushi date, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, that is insane. I do not believe. So, I can't believe you would say this love is alive back from the dead. I can't.
They went to Justin Bieber's pool party.
Yeah. I don't think she's... Yeah. Yeah.
That's deep.
So later that night on December 2nd, they pose for photos with fans after dinner at a restaurant in New York City. And one thing I want to point out is, you know, Harry's comment about starting relationships out of the spotlight?
Yeah.
And Taylor's obsession with privacy and secrecy around her relationships?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy that... they were like, let's go to Central Park with a baby.
The baby's the best part. Because it's so random.
It seems to be very straight baby. And while the One Direction boys keep promoing We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, like Harry put it on a radio station, one of the other ones was like talking about it. When Red comes out, Diana, of course, is tweeting about everything has changed, you know, because that song's about her.
Everything has changed is not about Harry. That's for well, sure.
Even Taylor pretends it's not. But,
right, so it has Hyena support is the liner note.
Oh, this is horrible. So they're photographed that night at a restaurant. And then the next day on December 3rd, Harry tweets a picture of Central Park from a hotel room and he says New York City good morning and he posts it at 1 p.m. New York time. So the insinuation is that he's just woken up, he's slept in, and they say Taylor was probably with him at the time. And then they make an appearance at the Hudson Hotel at a One Direction after party. Also that day is the Ripple of Hope gala. So Diana accompanies Taylor to the Kennedy Center for Justice for the Human Rights 2012 Ripple of Hope Gala. So again, you have this big Haler weekend and Diana's fucking poking her face back into it. and Diana says, you know, we've talked about this before, but she says, and this is just such a wonderful organization. And we've just been so lucky to be kind of embraced by the family. Like, who's we, Diana? Not you. You don't know the fucking Kennedys, like, you know.
I guess she was hanging out with them.
Yeah, I guess that summer she had a bit. But it's still a weird way of putting it, where Taylor's getting an award. And then there's a lot of Haler content, though, on this day. It's kind of weird. Diana's supposedly out at this party, too. I've seen people say she was there. I can't make her out in any of the videos, but some people say they can see her dancing when Taylor sings karaoke with Harry. But she is at the Ripple of Hope Awards that night, so it's likely she was hanging out with them too. Lots more Haler sightings. On December 4th, Harry tweets, "Last night was the best thing I've ever done." Hinting at Taylor, gross. Straight people are disgusting.
Of course, Halers are like, oh my god, romance.
And then December 4th, and that morning, he's seen leaving her hotel. Now, all sorts of blinds went up about Harry faking leaving that hotel, saying he would drop her off at night, he would go up, he'd stay, and then he'd leave, and in the morning he'd come back and fake a pap walk. Who knows if that's true or not, but I do think it's odd that, you know, the paps were always there to catch him leaving her hotel in the mornings. And especially when these hotels all do have, like, you know, secret exits and side doors that he could have gone out. And, you know, he's so obsessed with privacy. Supposedly she wants to be out of the spotlight. Supposedly, why is he leaving in broad view of the paps?
Exile not about Harry confirmed. He did not leave out the side door.
He didn't.
He left out the front entrance.
And later that night, he is spotted returning to her hotel. And then the next morning, seen leaving her hotel again. December 6th, we get some amazing content. A source tells people that Taylor and Harry, this is the night that they go out to Emma Stone's birthday party. And a source tells people Taylor and Harry were being very smoochy. They definitely looked like a couple. They held hands, and Harry seemed really protective of her and kept his arm around her during the party. They're not trying to hide it, and the bar was packed. Interesting that they're not trying to hide it, since they're both so obsessed with privacy.
Yeah, what's that about?
Diana is there as well, and this is the infamous event where Diana literally shoves Harry away. I'm looking at the GIF right now.
It's my favorite GIF in existence. It's so funny.
I cannot understand.
Get where someone got it on camera.
I know. And imagine the stuff that's not on camera of these people.
Right.
She looks so annoyed with him. And, like, all of this footage is so weird. Like, it's obviously very publicized. Everybody knows Harry's there. Everybody knows Taylor's there. People are losing their minds over Harry. And, like, the interaction between Diana and Harry, like, he walks by her. And she kind of ignores him, and she turns to, like, exclude him from the circle of conversation. And then he kind of seems to be bugging her a bit, sort of saying something, and she pushes him away and, like, brushes him off.
It's not just one. It's like her hand bats him three times.
She's like, go away. It's so, I do not know what to say, make of it. I don't understand. Because honestly, she's so nice. Like,
yeah.
What is she, and if she is supposed to be like Taylor's friend and he's her new boyfriend and she's so happy with him and Harry's so great and Taylor's so great, what is the problem, Diana?
Like, I guess you could say that they're just joking around and like he said something and she's like, oh, shut up. You know, like how you'd be like,
yeah.
Like jokingly, like.
Maybe, I guess. The other interesting thing is they're all playing rock, paper, scissors at one point this night. And I've started working on a crack theory that Diana had a scissor bracelet, Taylor had a scissor necklace, and Diana gave her the scissor necklace, and it's like their matching secret charm. But then later, Harry gives Taylor a paper airplane necklace, but scissor beats paper. And so when Taylor says, your necklace hanging from my neck, she's actually talking about the scissor necklace and not the paper airplane necklace. Like, and that's why that was the inside joke. I don't know. They wore the scissor charms that summer, so it doesn't necessarily add up. But also, like, they go get into a car, and Diana gets in the same car as Harry and Taylor, and nobody else does. It's just, like, she gets in the back seat.
It's a little weird.
It is kind of weird, because they had a bunch of friends with them, and other
people. Where were they supposed to be going?
Emma Stone's birthday party, like a hotel, dinner at a hotel.
They went from there to Emma Stone's birthday.
Yeah. Supposedly.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I wonder why she got in the car with them instead of, like, the other car.
I don't know.
Is it because she's famous, too? And, like, the other ones weren't, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe, but, like, you know.
Like, why not just all get in one car? I don't
why
know.
Not all get in one car? Or if like Harry and Taylor are so special and they want to be alone together, why is Diana getting in the car with them?
I mean, I guess they don't really need to be like alone together for like a short car ride with like other people driving sure, anyway.
Why wouldn't, you know, five of them gotten into that car? Like it's seated. Like, I don't know. You know, it just doesn't. Other people were like grabbing other cars, but Diana goes with Harry and Taylor.
I don't know.
It's weird. I mean, famous people weird. Are weird.
Yeah.
But there's also footage of Diana and Taylor walking like at another point in that night, like going from a car into the hotel, maybe like their destination. I'm not sure. Harry is not seen though. It's just Diana and Taylor walking into like a building together and one of the security guards. And there's this moment where Diana is like stepping up on the curb and she looks back and it seems like she's looking to make sure Taylor sees it. That's how I read it. I don't know. This is also the moment in time. Taylor is doing her Elle magazine interview and Diana went and visited with her while she did it. So, you know, if Harry's so fucking special, why isn't he at the Elle magazine interview? Diana's the only one there, like hanging out with her.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, on December 7th is a weird day. The next day, the One Direction boys are asked about Haley and Louis acts weird as fuck. He says, they're like, what's going on with Harry and Taylor or something like that. And Louis says, he looks pissed. And he says, I'm happy that they're good friends, just friends. If that. Like that's weird. Video footage of this. It is weird.
No, that's just like weird. Like I really don't know what to say about that because I don't know. The thing is with like the anti-Larrys, which is like most people, is that they're like very, very like insistent that like nothing happened between them. And like I'm more middle ground here. I have no investment in Larrys. I don't like someone come at me and be like, oh my god, you're delusional, blah blah, because like I literally could not give less of a shit. But what I'm saying is like there are some things that are definitely odd enough that it makes me say, like, what's the reason for that? Like, why do they act like that? Why do they say these things? Because, like, that's just very, very weird. Because, like, if they're, like, I think I've seen the interview. Is it out loud or is it just written?
No, it's out loud. He's
yeah, I watched like, it. I think we watched it.
Yeah, we've watched it before and a couple times, probably.
He doesn't say it in a joking manner. Because, like, no. I could see him joking around, of course, sure. Like, when it's written down, like, it's hard to say. Like, you know, someone could just be saying, oh, they're not even just that. Like, ha, ha, ha. Like, you know, like, obviously, like, making a joke out of the fact that that's your friend's girlfriend. But it is very weird because it does not come across as a joke. He kind of looks annoyed.
He's pissed. So, like,
I'm not
very
saying that negative that they were together, but he was... It sounds like he's saying, like, oh, shut up. Like, at least, like, shut up. They're not even, like, together. Like, shut up. You know, like, stop asking me about it. Stop asking all of us about it.
The interviewer is, like, going on, and they ask, like, oh, would you guys collab with her? And Louis's like, no.
Like, really?
Yeah. Dude,
he, like, did not like her. It's kind of weird.
He did. So, okay. Let me be a Hitler. Harry and Taylor are real. Louis's best friends with Harry, and Harry's been blowing off Louis to hang out with Taylor, so he's pissed about it.
Yeah, that could be, but why is he saying, like, they're not even, like, if that, like, as far as them being friends, wouldn't he just be like, oh, yeah, he's, like, obsessed with her now? You know, like, say something kind of more, like, bitter about it, rather than, like...
Right. Why is... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I get that vibe. It's, like, I get annoyed, too, when people don't know how to have a relationship and friendships at the same time. Like, that's, like, a big pet peeve of mine in friendships. So, like, I get that, but I would say probably if you were to ask me, what'd they ask him exactly?
They just ask, like, oh, what about Haley, you know?
I'd be like, yeah, they're, like, always fucking together now. You know, like, something like that. I'd be like, they're, like, and I guess you could interpret that as me being, like, jealous, which, like, doesn't mean that I'm in love with my friend, but it does. Like, I would be jealous. I'm kind of, like, I'm not jealous, but it's more just, like, annoying.
It is jealousy, but it's not, like, romantic. Yeah, it's just, like,
right.
You know.
But I wouldn't be, like... Yeah, if that, like, they're not even friends. Like, I would not say that. I would have the opposite reaction of being like, yeah, they're like never have time for anything else.
He says,
you know?
Like, I'm happy that they're good friends. They're just friends, if that. It's so
strange.
Weird. It's so
strange.
I don't know how to explain it. Except
no, I don't either.
You know what
it doesn't
I will
come
say
off
is
as a joke at all.
No, and it doesn't even come off as like like, I think if Louis were sick of Harry hanging out with Taylor, he would have been like, yeah, they're always up each other's asses. It sucks.
Yeah, that's what I would say. So then you're like, kind of like, yeah, they never have time for anything else anymore. Or, like, you know, something
yeah,
kind of
they're
like
really
that.
Into
like,
each other. Maybe too into each other.
Yeah, that's exactly the kind of response I would have if I were pissed at my
like, if I were trying like, to be shady in that way.
Right. That's literally exactly what I would say.
Okay. It's Cam, guys, after the fact, after we recorded the episode. The bot got fucked up around this part, but what we're about to talk about is the fact that Harry gets a tattoo of a battleship on his arm that is similar to the one that the model in the I Knew You Were Trouble music video gets that plays Taylor's love interest, the actor. And the thing is she filmed and then released the I Knew You Were Trouble music video before Harry got the tattoo. And then she goes with Harry and he gets the ship tattoo. And it very much seems like, you know, she like maybe got him to get it to match the music video because they were trying to sell so hard that that music video was about him. It's crazy. It's very bizarre. It's one of the weirdest things about the timeline is that he gets that tattoo before, or he gets that tattoo after the I Knew You Were Trouble music video comes out. So that tattoo thing,
very
like
weird.
I personally think that
I don't know what to think of that.
I think Taylor told him to get the ship tattoo because she knew it was going to be in that. She, you know, it was in the "I Knew You Were Trouble" music video, and she wanted that to be tied back to Harry. I
but
don't.
Why
know
would he agree to that?
I don't think he knew. I that think he's pretty loose and fast.
Though.
I think he's pretty loose and fast with his tattoos. And
oh, yeah, absolutely. He's totally one of those types who's like, sure, I'll get that. Like, there are I get that too, like, in real life, who are just like, okay. Like, you know, they're just like, whatever with tattoos, and they'll just get anything.
Right.
But still, it seems a little crazy. I mean, it's just weird. It's weird.
It is very odd that his tattoo shows up in the music video that was filmed before he even got it.
Right. And like, it's at peak Haler when they're like at their happiest, most perfect. You know,
I'm
whatever.
Sorry. If I were super happy with this guy, I would, even if, let's say she's insane and wrote I Knew You Were Trouble about their meeting for about a week in April, like literally going to a pool party together. Let's just say she is that crazy and wrote that song. Okay. She's that into him. Then they get together. And they're happy. Wouldn't you say, you know what? Let me make this song about Connor Kennedy or Jake Gyllenhaal or John Mayer.
Yeah.
And not the boy I'm so happy and finally get to be with and then completely in love with. Yeah, he inspired the verses of the song. But not anymore because now we're happy together. Why is she trying to point the song back to
him? I think that at the very least, to record the video, you could just make it someone nondescript, like doesn't necessarily have to be tied back to any of the other guys either,
right?
But you could just make it someone generic so it doesn't tie back to anyone, or like throw Jake Gyllenhaal hit in there, throw John Mayer hit in there, like
instead it's chock full of Taylor's hints, actually.
Yeah.
The keyhole necklace why, in the wearing. But
why come for the guy you're so happy in love with? I just don't get that.
I think she told him to get the shit tattoo because I think she knew they were on a 3-month contract and were going to break up, and she wanted, she was like, you know what'll be funny is if this song's about him.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry. Maybe. I think she's insane, dude. I mean,
I don't have a good explanation for that. If someone does, please let us know. But like, I mean, it's weird. Like, for you to release a song that, first of all, like, it couldn't really have been written about him, but like on the very off chance it was, which requires reaching to believe, why are you going to allude to the fact that it's him in the music video by putting a tattoo that he doesn't even have yet, and also release this music video that's implying that it's about Harry when you're at your absolute happiest, most peak, like perfect honeymoon, like love romance, and then to later continually imply that it's him? I'm mocking his accent or whatever she did at least once, maybe more times. It's just odd. I don't know.
Yeah. she implies it's him with tweets, and then she says it to somebody.
And she mocks his accent.
That's in a different song.
Oh.
That's We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together, which...
See, I don't listen to either of those. They're skips for me, and that's why I don't...
Well, she only does it in this one performance in the Grammys.
No, like, just both those songs. I just don't listen to those songs. Like, I don't like either of those songs very much.
I kind of love them both. I love I Knew Your Troll. It's one of my favorite
I mean, they're, like, fun kind of, like, bops, but, like, I don't listen to them just, like, regularly.
I Knew Your Trouble to me is a very serious, dramatic song. I know it's, like, played, like, popish, but I'm always thinking about the 1999 tour version, which is very, like, rock and dramatic and theatrical, mm-hmm. and she is, like, so pissed, and it's very sexy, honestly.
Whereas We Are Never Getting Back Together to me does read mostly as satire, like, poking fun at her image. And, like, just right. probably all the people that she's broken up with, without it being like, yeah. oh, this is about one specific person or one specific relationship.
Now, of course, people say she has pink hair in the I Knew Your Trouble music video because it's actually Diana and she's making fun of Punk Quinn.
Never would that song be about Diana Agron, come on.
I mean, until we came on the scene, everybody thought it was, like, legit.
Yeah, I was always like, nah. Like, the only thing is about this, she did tweet about it. No, that was We're Never Getting Back Together, I'm sorry.
Right.
I can't get those three songs apart, they're the same song to me. Yeah, there's no way that song is about her.
Yeah, I mean,
she's not trouble. She's like, I mean, I guess you could say she's trouble in the fact that she's just like, you know, irresistible. But like,
right?
She's not a troublemaker. Come on.
I mean, people say the Punk Quinn thing is part of it, and
I don't think so. Punk Quinn lasted like one episode.
I know, it's really
unfortunately,
but she did have pink hair for a bit.
Yeah,
I really don't think it's about her. She, to me, she wrote it before they were really together.
Mm-hmm.
But same with Harry.
Yeah.
So.
So who's it really about?
And here's what's weird is why is she going so hard? And you'll see she goes even harder to make this song about him. Like, why not give him some other breakup song? Which, you know, she does.
One of the more soft ones, maybe.
We know she wrote the chorus before they were even met. Before right. they had even met. And she's like, why is she going so hard to tie this song back to him? Like, why not
I don't know.
Just say...
Give it to another guy.
Why not just say, yeah, why not give it to another guy?
Whoever it's really written about.
Whoever it's really written about. Unless it's about some... thing she's hiding.
Yeah, could be.
And I kind of think I Knew Your Trouble might be about Liz, but you know,
it might be. I mean, Liz kind of was supposed to be like a hot mess, so
she was. So it just does not make sense. But yeah, that tattoo fucking thing is insane.
That is insane.
But back to the timeline. On December 20th, Harry is asked about Taylor on the X Factor red carpet, and the interviewer asks his thoughts on Taylor. Louis says, oh, I'd love to know. And Harry says, I don't know.
What?
And then Louis follows this comment up with, it is what it is, which he later gets tattooed on his chest. Like... I know it is what it is. It's very common.
Yeah, as you say, that's a very common phrase, so it might mean nothing.
But it's weird. It's just, these boys do get a lot of tattoos.
Yeah. They seem like the type that will just get anything tattooed on them.
They all look at each other and laugh. And in another interview on the same red carpet, he's asked if what he has with Taylor is a relationship, and he says maybe. Yeah.
What?
And that's right before the ski trip. Sorry, I'm going back to the Larry timeline now. Like, I've got three timelines I'm working with now. Back to Haler. Swiftgron is nothing right now, and has been nothing, because Diana's out of the country.
Which is also very weird, to be honest.
Is it? I just think she went on, like, some kind of mission trip, or not. I don't think it was,
depends
like,
how long she's gone for, I guess.
She goes for, like, 3 weeks. She's
I mean, I guess it's not super weird, but it's a little odd.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of how she left the country when things got going with Connor for Taylor.
Yeah.
Of course, she left for work.
Movie, to be fair.
Right.
Yeah.
But on December 28th, Harry heads back to New York And on December 31st, Harry's spotted leaving his hotel in New York City. He goes to a Coldplay concert, and then he meets up with Taylor for the year-end countdown at Times Square. So, like, why did they go to the Coldplay concert together? No, because Taylor is performing at Dick Clark's Rockin' New Year's Eve, and Harry doesn't go. He goes to see Coldplay instead. Are you kidding me? That is so weird.
That is weird.
I mean, they're about to break up, so.
But it's like, didn't they just get together? Aren't they supposed to be so in love? Like,
yes,
they're finally allowed to be together, and they broke up after like 2 months.
I mean, the idea is, I guess they got together supposedly back early in September.
Yeah, this is still not very long between September and like early January, at the end of December. That's only still like a couple months.
Yeah, but they're barely spotted, right? They only get spotted together in December.
Yeah.
I mean, they're seen together a couple times in November, but they're spotted once in September and then a couple times in November. So I think, anyway, I don't have their timeline memorized. I probably will after I end up editing this episode. And then they're photographed out kissing at New Year's Eve in the middle of Times Square, which is like, Taylor's like, I know places. Let's go to the middle of Times Square.
Yeah, the middle of Times Square.
On New Year's Eve. Okay, bitch. Like, okay. All right. Harry's the relationship you're trying to hide. Harry is. They get photographed by a bunch of fans kissing at New Year's Eve. And then later they're photographed returning to their hotel. And they are supposedly seen making out in an elevator, which is just a tweet.
It looks like there's a shitload of people in the elevator. Which
there
is
are like 40 people in the elevator, and they have a blurry picture of Taylor and Harry. And they said, I just rode on an elevator with Harry Styles and Taylor Swift while they made out. It was beautiful. But they don't have a picture of them making out. I really don't think Taylor is making out with somebody in an elevator, but okay.
I mean, they could have just made it up to be.
I think they tweeted that just to be a bit dramatic, but.
Yeah. I mean, I probably would.
Early on January 1st, they leave town on Taylor's private jet the next morning to go on vacation. And Harry is wearing a hat that Taylor ends up sort of copying in her merch store. But, you know, it's just a popular
style
hat.
It's a pretty common. Yeah, I was going to say, it's a pretty common like design.
But it has like a snowflake on it. Like, yeah, but it's pretty common. On January 3rd, they're spotted by fans in the British Virgin Islands. And they take pictures with fans. And then on January 4th, reports of Taylor and Harry breaking up come out.
That picture is so
Taylor
funny.
Taylor leaves the island. I know, I have the date wrong on the SwiftGround Master Post. I need to fix it. But Taylor leaves the island to get ready for the People's Choice Awards. And a source says they were on holiday and had an almighty row. They are two young stars at the top of their game, so who knows what will happen in the future. So that sounds like Harry's team because of the word row. On January 5th, like a crazy, dramatic, psychotic bitch, Taylor tweets, "Till you put me down." Sorry, she tweets, ... "Till you put me down."
Like, girl, stop trying to make that song about him. It's not about him.
Which
we
is
all know it.
There's a lyric from I Knew You Were Trouble, which, again, has already come out, and already has a music video film for it, and she's trying to be like, no, y'all, that song's about Harry. Girl,
it's weird how desperately she wanted to make that specific song about him of all songs. Like, why was she so obsessed with that one song being about Harry? Was it part, like, if it was a contracted relationship, was that part of it? That he was supposed to
I
be
think
like
a bad boy.
Yeah, was that what it's supposed to be? And he's like attached to this song.
Yeah,
that's like,
I mean,
part of their contract.
I don't know.
Like, this song has to be about him. Like, or like you have to write a song about him, or like you have to attribute at least one song on Red, and then like I don't know. It's weird because it's not. We know it's not about him because she wrote the chorus before they met, and even if she wrote the other verses and stuff after they'd met, they literally barely knew each other, so she would look absolutely insane. Like, even if you want to say Taylor's a little bit crazy, falls in love too fast, that's, like, next level, kind of. Like, that's just actually insane. Like, if you'd only hung out a few times and you're writing, you never loved me or her or anyone or anything, like, come on.
Yeah, well, yeah. I don't know. I think it's very odd that she's going so hard to make that song about him. And there's an even more blatant thing she does down the line, we'll get to. But on January 7th, he is Harry is pictured returning to London after the split with Taylor, and they post a bunch of pictures of his face to try to make it look like he's like sad.
It's just the flash in his eye. That's it. He doesn't even look sad.
He just looks fine.
He just looks like there's a camera flash in his eyes.
And then on January 10th, and this is my favorite because they're posting it as if it's Taylor proof. But the thing is they split up on the 4th and Harry's back in London. But on January 10th, Taylor attends the People's Choice Awards and she has like a hickey looking mark on her.
I think some people debated that it was tape or something.
I don't,
or like it's something else, but it does look a bite mark to me. And
it's not deep. I mean, it could be anything,
it doesn't look faded enough for it to have been from Harry if it was from when they were in the Virgin Islands on the 3rd.
No. And that does it mean that it's Diana? No. But
it looks pretty fresh.
It looks pretty fresh, and that's in LA.
Like, it could be a couple days old, but it's not more than a week old.
Well, and we know Diana's back in LA. She's been back in LA since January 3rd.
It's just a little too red, you know?
Now, this one is interesting to me. This is something that I sort of wonder about. On January 10th, 2013, Taylor tweets back in the studio. And then later on Tumblr, years later, she says that she was recording All You Had to Do Was Stay.
Okay.
Now, we know she wrote How You Get the Girl, and maybe recorded around this time too, but she definitely wrote How You Get the Girl this January. Uh-huh. So, is it possible that, like, All You Had to Do Is Stay is about a dream she had about her ex showing up at her door, and she heard all these weird voices screaming at her, stay, all you had to do is stay, stay, stay. It's like, it was like based, according to her, it's based on a dream about an ex she had. Now, mm-hmm. in my Swikron timeline, I have that they got back together in October. They broke up in July or end of July or so. Like, now it's possible they broke up in July and then Diana did hang out with them in New York, but they did not get back together till January. And so Taylor's having dreams about her and writing All You Had to Do Is Stay about her. But of course, Taylor says people like me are gone forever. All You Had to Do Is Stay is like, other than Babe, is the worst it gets for Diana with Taylor. I mean, I guess except for Long Story Short now, where she says it was a bad time. Like, All You Had to Do Is Stay is the most bitter song Taylor has about her. And it's still really not that bad.
It's not that bad.
Is it possible it's about someone else? Is it possible she lied about what she was recording that day? What could be, I don't know. I also think it's a bit weird. Why is she writing All You Had to Do Is Stay, which seems to be really kind of looking back on.
Yeah, the thing is that it doesn't make sense to me here.
Right.
Is that if they had just broken up, because wait, when is she saying she's writing this? On the 10th. So they just broke up.
Yeah.
So why is she writing stuff like, it sounds like he's trying to come back already, which I mean, maybe, but
she says it's about a dream about her ex coming back.
Yeah.
So maybe it's about a different ex. Maybe it's not about Harry or Diana.
That could be. I mean, why not?
The songs about Diana are really sweet, so. Yeah, so here's what's weird. She recorded How You Get the Girl 5 days later.
Mm-hmm.
She's really all over the place in this. Of course, she might have written it before then, but
yeah, it was a long 6 months. Who? Like, that doesn't fit either of them.
Unless she didn't get back together with Diana until this January.
Maybe. I mean, they seemed to be like there was like something maybe going on, but
yeah, because they hung out in Paris and then they hung out in New York City. But
yeah.
I don't know. Somebody suggested that the long 6 months was actually the 6 months that Taylor had to be involved with Connor and then Harry. Like, 6 months of bearding is over.
I mean, that could be, you know? Because, like, even if they are still together, then maybe it wasn't, like, the way it should have been, you know? Like,
without guys interfering.
Right.
The same day that she has, like, this hickey, at the People's mm-hmm. Choice Award is the day she was recording All You Had to Do Is Stay. But which is about her relationship with Harry. Now, we don't know when she wrote it.
That's true. Yeah, she could have written it a long time ago.
Back when she and Diana were on more of a break.
That's possible, yeah. We don't know when she wrote it, you're right. Like, she could have been recording it that day, and of course she's gonna, like, play it up, you know?
First of all, there's nothing in All You Had to Do Is Stay. There's no references. There's no Green Eyes. There's no Wonderland references. Nothing. There's no reference to a magazine shoot Diana was in. So it could be about anyone.
Yeah, I mean, who's to say it's not
She said, I had a dream about my ex showing up.
Yeah, who's to say it's not just about a distant ex from years ago?
I mean, it could be anybody. Like, and I mean,
it is an extremely generic song. Not in a bad way, just like there are no references, no clues, nothing.
I'm going to look like the world's biggest Swiffer on Homer if I come out and say, actually, All You Had to Do Is Stay was about Liz Hewitt and not Diana.
Okay, but like, who's to say who it's about? Right. Because there's no references in here.
I mean, 1989 is supposed to generally be about Diana, but yeah, I mean,
why not? You can always write like a, maybe it was a song that she started writing a while back and really liked it, but then was like, well, I don't really care about that person anymore necessarily, but like, it still inspired a good chorus or something, and then she kind of filled in the rest of it with maybe a little bit of inspiration from, well, either the breakup with Harry or Diana, or a separation with one of them or something.
Yeah, but you know, you have All You Had to Do Is Stay being recorded on January 10th, and then 5 days later she's singing about How You Get the Girl.
Yeah,
which is like, you know, she didn't say it was about a personal relationship, but she said it's about, you know, this is how, what guys should do to get the girl back. So, but I do think it's sort of about something specific happening, or, you know, I think she's singing about somebody else, especially when she does that acoustic version. She sounds so sad. On February 10th, Taylor performs her single We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together at the Grammys, and she mocks Harry's accent during the performance, which, like, girl,
that one couldn't have been written about him either, right? Like, realistically,
it was recorded. It's not supposed to be about him. It's supposed to be about, she said somebody,
parody.
No. I mean, she said it's about a real relationship. She said it's about somebody just stopped by the studio when she was working on Red and I Knew You Were Trouble and asked her, oh, are you getting back together with so-and-so? And she launched into this rant about, no, we're not getting back together. We're never getting back together. And Max Martin was like, oh, I think you just wrote a song. And supposedly her talking in the song is her like explaining it to the people in the room because they had recording devices going. But I think she kind of made that bit up. Like,
yeah, probably.
I mean, I do generally believe that's what happened, but Sim pointed out to me that like some other musician stopping by like might be asking her about Liz. Because
I mean, maybe, but they could honestly ask about anyone if they're close enough that they know who she's dating.
Yeah. I think it might be about Jake.
Yeah, it could be.
But like, who is she super on and off with?
Not Jake, I don't think.
Not any of them. There haven't been time. There hasn't really been time. Harry's the only one. But we know it's not about him. She recorded it in June of 2012. So it's definitely not about him, but she is like pointing, she's making it look like him. Of course, the performance is circus, and there's a white rabbit following her around. So everybody says, oh, this song's about Diana. But I just think she took some of Diana's favorite aesthetics, because like, I don't think it's about Diana either. Diana tweeted about the song. Like, she wrote it it was recorded in the middle of the Swiffer on Summer when they were like hanging out all the time and seemed to be really happy together.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, but that is this at the Grammys. I think it's actually one of her better Grammy performances. That's the same night Diana is tweeting, are you all watching the Grammys? Yes, yes. And is Harry tweeting about the Grammys? I don't think so. and Taylor wins for Safe and Sound.
Do we do the splits? I don't think so. That reminded me of that. It's sort of like little baby Quinn, and she's like, can Glee do the splits? I don't think so.
She says, Can the Gleeks do the splits?
I think it's Glee.
That's funny.
I don't know. I don't remember what
she's
that is.
She's a cute little funny baby. So she's supposedly mocking Harry at the Grammys, which is just like, girl, why are you going that hard for an 18-year-old? You dated Max for 6 months. Maximum. And really, it's more like 3.
Right.
It's just fucking weird, dude. A couple days later, Harry gets asked about it on the radio, and he's just like, oh yeah, she's a great performer. Like, he's so chill about it. Now, what's funny is they're broken up, and they're still having to attend all the same award shows. So they're at the end of January, they're at the NRJ Awards. In February, they're both at the 2013 Brits. When Taylor presents an award, the camera goes straight to Harry, and he just looks chill and clapping. And of course, in February, you know, in the meantime, in SwiftCron world, you're getting, you know, Taylor's tweeting about her inside sources at Glee. And whatever happened that day, Taylor immortalized it in the Man music video. Who knows what that fucking means? And of course, Diana is tumbling all sorts of emo shit, like that Fitzgerald quote. If the girl had been worth having, she'd have waited for you. No, sir, the girl really worth having won't wait for anybody. Which Taylor later lists as a quote to live by in Marie Claire. That happens in February. So, you know, March comes and the Red Tour starts. Diana tweets a bunch of anxious stuff. Not a bunch, but she says, too many questions to name. One of those days, good night. The day before the Red Tour starts. And then Diana starts tweeting about girls, and then Lena Dunham shows up on the Red Tour.
Yeah, that's interesting.
I'm just telling you, these girls are like, either they are like platonic bestie soulmates and they should still be best friends, or something else, but like they're always, it always comes back to each other with them. Like, Taylor's still writing songs with Fitzgerald references in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she released one a week ago. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So there's nothing going on in Haler world, but something really weird happens on April 11th. Louis, they're singing Little Parts, or Little Things, sorry. The boys are singing Little Things.
Little Parts.
Yeah. The boys are singing Little Things, and on April 11th, and Louis says Taylor Swift. I think Harry's sort of singing a part. I think he says, like, I'm in love with you or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's so odd. Because Louis is, like, always fucking shading Haler. Louis is the biggest Haler anti on the planet. And then, for some reason, he seems to be teasing Harry on stage about it. Like, why? Then everything is dark in Haler world and SwiftCron world for a while. But on August 25th, they both, Harry and Taylor both attend the 2013 VMAs. And they say that Taylor is looking at Harry while he's on stage, which...
Oh my god, OTB.
What else are you supposed to look at? Like...
Yeah, right?
Is she supposed to look away?
Yeah.
But my favorite moment is she accepts the Moon Man for Best Female Video, which is... about I Knew You Were Trouble, and she is like very weird about it. She says, I also want to thank the person who inspired this song, who knows exactly who he is, because now I've got one of these. And she seems like pissy about it. And so, like, she's supposed to be saying it's about Harry, and he's like there. So later, the guy who plays the supposed Harry part in I Knew You Were Trouble gives an interview. And he was Taylor's date to the VMAs. So they say to him, you did a music video with Harry's ex-girlfriend, Taylor Swift, called I Knew You Were Trouble. You played her bad boy lover. And Taylor has said Harry inspired the song. How did it feel to accompany her to the MTV Music Video Awards, where she won Best Female Video? And he said, I feel really lucky because my co-star is here and I'm so happy. Which I think... Oh, Taylor said that. she said, I feel really lucky because my co-star Reeve Carney is here and I'm so happy. And then he says, the VMAs were nuts, but that was so nice of Taylor and such an honor. It was fantastic to work with her. She's real professional. And Harry is so nice. He came up to me and said he loved the video and thought Taylor and I did such a good job.
Didn't she just mock him for it?
I mean, she's trying to shade him. And then here's my favorite part. They actually, there's footage of Harry sending a text message during the show. Or they have a still picture of it. There is footage of Taylor receiving a text message that she shows to Selena, and then they look over supposedly in Harry's direction, which I don't see them looking over at Harry, but Selena sees the text and claps.
Yeah, I don't know.
I just love that they have put that together. Like, look, if Diana had been at the show and had been texting, I would have made the same connection. So more power to them. And then they all take a picture together. Taylor, Harry, and Ed Sheeran take a picture at a VMA after party. Which is just like, if she hates him so much, which, and she's shitting him in public yeah. again and again, why is she like buddy-buddy with him too? It's fucking weird.
Right.
Like, you know, I don't get it either. She also... She even said, this is back in March, sorry to jump back a bit, but there's this article, this is the Los Angeles Times, and Taylor Swift says, Harry Styles inspired I Knew Your Trouble, is the headline. And then it says, Taylor Swift has seemingly revealed that her breakup song, I Knew Your Trouble, was penned with the One Direction crooner Harry Styles in mind. Is anyone surprised? In an interview with the UK Sunday Times magazine, Taylor Swift was asked if it was difficult to perform the song during the Brit Awards. And she said, well, it's not hard to access that emotion when the person the song is directed at is standing by the side of the stage watching.
Yeah, like, it's weird.
And she said, as far as we know, the Brit boy bander was the only one of her many exes near the stage. And they continue with Taylor's quote. And they say, she says, you're balancing the analytical side of your brain, which is telling you where to go and how to go there, and the other side of your brain, which is saying, feel everything you're singing and show it on your face. Feel everything exactly as you felt when you wrote the song. It should be noted that this breakup has been speculated about and drawn out since it happened in January. This is the article. And they say, Swift used a mock British accent when she sang We're Never Ever Getting Back Together to open up the Grammy Awards earlier in February. And then later reportedly showed Styles what he was missing at the Brit Awards when she ripped off her wedding dress costume to reveal a sexy black number underneath. That's I Knew Your Trouble. It's just like, they're making fun of how dramatic the song is. They're saying, like, in case you lived under a rock and haven't heard Swift's mega hit, she pretty much falls really hard for this guy, which prompts him to take a step back. We imagine a wedding dress would achieve that, even if it is a costume. She goes on to sing that she is only a new notch in his belt and realize that he never loved her or anyone or anything. Like, so anyway, back to that August. Access Hollywood asks Harry what he would tell Taylor if he could talk to her. And he would say, he says that I'd tell her she's a good songwriter. You write really good songs. Like, it's so weird. Again and again, Harry gets asked about Taylor. And he says, he says, oh, when Taylor accepted her award last night, was she messing around with you or what? And Harry says, she's all right. She likes a joke. It's all right. Like, he's so chill about all of it.
Right, which is kind of strange.
And then here's what's interesting. On November, so this is like, Taylor goes away for a long time and all sorts of stuff is going on around Swiftron, like, or not all sorts of stuff, but little things here and there. They then hang out apparently with Courtney Cox and Ed Sheeran and Johnny McDade, because you can tell Courtney's following all the same people and people are tweeting about it. So they, you know, there's just some different interviews. And then, so that's November 18th. They're all, so they're hanging out as friends still. at least.
But, I mean, I guess that would make sense with the whole style. Someone who comes back, like, in and out of your life, if they're, like, only hanging out for short spans here and there, and then it's off for a few months, and then it's back on for a few months. I don't know if they're, like, allegedly supposed to be together at this point or not.
That's true. They're not supposed to be together, but I think the Hailers are sort of insinuating. But on November 21st, Harry and Kendall go on their first date.
Right.
On the same day, Taylor tweets, "I've listened to Hold On by Colby Calais 45 times today on repeat. It's so important." I definitely think that's just her pumping up one of her favorite artists. I will say, yeah. I love that song too. But it's very much about, like, holding on to a relationship. Like, it's not like a, it's sort of hopeful, but pessimistic, I guess, but it's not like a sad song exactly. It's kind of hopeful. So that's the same day Harry's going on his first date with Kendall Jenner. Then on November 24th, Taylor and Harry are both at the 2013 AMAs, and Taylor's dress happens to be the same one that a model wore in a photo shoot with One Direction. So that's kind of funny. I mean, it could just be a coincidence, but some unknown date in November 2013, Harry talks about getting back together with exes in an interview. He says, "I think a lot of times you still have feelings for an ex, and sometimes it doesn't matter how long it's been. Sometimes you feel like you have unfinished stuff and it's okay to get back together with them." So I guess that's where this whole style idea is coming from, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can make an argument, but they're, of course, they're going to be at the same award shows and hanging out in the same crowds, because they have, like, mutual friends, and they're both in the music business. They're like, in the exact same music category. Like,
but also, why aren't they back together then? Like, that's...
Oh, true. Harry literally says it's okay to get back together with them.
So, like, why didn't they?
Yeah, because, I mean...
I guess Hailers would think maybe they were secretly going together.
But then why didn't they end up together? Like, why is he going out with Kendall Jenner?
Yeah, I don't know.
The thing is, if Swiftgron got outed and Taylor's management basically said, "Listen, this has to stop," and it basically does, and then Taylor literally files her publicist the same day that all the Big Sur pictures with Carly go live.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like, you know, there's reasons that Swiftgron couldn't be together. There's no reason that Harry and Taylor couldn't be happy together.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why they couldn't.
If that's what they both really wanted, which, if he's saying, like, oh, it's okay to get back together with an ex, and she's saying, you know, apparently he's always coming back into her life, like, okay, why not just stay together?
Right.
On November 25th, Midnight Memories comes out, and there's a couple songs on there that are supposed to be about Taylor. I don't really think the boys in One Direction really wrote all that much of their own music. I guess they co-wrote, but yeah, something great is written by Harry, Gary Lightbody, and Johnny McDade, who are the same co-writers of Taylor's song "The Last Time" on Red, which could not have been about Harry. They had barely met when she wrote that song.
There's no way that song is about Harry.
So it's like, what are they even trying to say there? Like,
yeah, I don't know, because that doesn't make any sense. And also, the last time is very much like the last time, you know, like, they're not going to, you're not going to write that about someone that you're with.
So on Taylor's birthday in 2013, which, okay, by the way, in that November, of course, Diana is Instagramming all sorts of angsty shit.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, she's very publicly in a happy relationship with Nick Mathers, supposedly, at the time.
Which is weird. I mean, I guess maybe they could have broken up, but, or, like, briefly, or gotten in a fight or something.
But Diana is putting on Instagram all this sort of weird shit. She's putting the Beauty and the Breakdown lamp. She's
her, like, public breakdown.
She's putting up pictures of...
How long has she been with Nick Mathers at that point?
A couple months.
Seems a little dramatic.
Well, she might be talking about something else, or just thinks it's cool photography and cool captions.
True. But she had the, like, it was kind of a lot of weird stuff within, like, a short span of time, I think.
But Diana is posting pictures of her at that birthday party that she was at with Taylor, where she's probably looking at Taylor, who's sitting across from her. She's posting, "No, I am missing you," just to let you know, I'm missing you. Tell me who you're missing today. How not to be a dick on December 11th, like 2 days before Taylor's birthday.
Wait, when were the dates of the other two?
The first one is November 12th, which is the day of the Victoria's Secret fashion rehearsals. She posts the lamp. On November 13th, the Victoria's Secret fashion show happens, and Diana posts the picture of her at Emma Stone's birthday party.
With no caption, right? Or at least not that we know.
I don't think there was a caption.
So odd.
She's so fucking weird, dude.
She's a weirdo.
On November 17th, she posts a now deleted photo about missing someone that says, just let you know, I'm missing you. Tell me here you're missing me today. And then on December 11th, she posts a book called How Not to Be a Dick.
Yeah, that's all weird.
Yeah.
That's all in the span of like a month.
Yeah.
One thing after another.
Yeah. Like, is Harry posting this shit? I don't think so, but...
I was gonna say, if her and Nick had gotten in a fight or something, I could see, like, maybe post one of those things, but, like, I don't think you're gonna have a month-long issues with someone if you've only been together for a short amount of time. I think it would just break up, you know, if it's not, so, like, a...
Well, some people go to New York City with somebody for a weekend and then write 40 songs about them.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I forgot about that.
But on December 13th, Taylor's birthday, Harry tweets, "Better still, be my winding wheel," which is from Ryan Adams' song, My Winding Wheel, which he said, a winding wheel is a metaphor for someone's soulmate. Which, if Harry Styles thinks Taylor Swift was his soulmate...
Why would they not just be together? I'm just not getting it. What's keeping them apart? That's what I'm not understanding here.
They are supposedly straight. They are white. Both they are single. Rich. They are hot. They are single. They are millionaires. They're both in the entertainment industry. And they had fans that were just fucking insane for them being together. They loved it. Why aren't they just together? Harry's supposedly calling her his soulmate.
I mean, to be fair, that is a huge reach to say that he's posting these lyrics because he's trying to communicate to Taylor that this song, that if you look up the meaning of the song and probably find an interview with the guy who wrote it, he says that it isn't like, you know, like it's kind of like, okay. Because to be fair, I mean, it's not like these are just like normal people. These are musicians who like consume a ton of music and like,
sure,
you know, so not every song that you listen to or, you know, that's going to have some deep personal meaning. Sometimes it's a song that you like and you want to share with people because you are a musician yourself, you know, so it might be mean nothing.
I think it probably does, but the Halers would tell you he tweeted that on her birthday because they're soulmates.
Right. And if they're soulmates, then why can't they be together? What's keeping them apart? That's the thing is, like, with Haler, it's like, what's this big, huge driving force that's keeping them apart? You could say that the original relationship got torn apart because there was too much pressure from the Paps and from the media and blah, blah, blah. Sure, okay, fine. But one, Taylor knows places they won't be found. And
she says she does.
Allegedly she knows them. Two, if they're like so in love and soulmates and just like can't, he's gonna interrupt her wedding and you can get back together with an ex because it's unfinished. Okay, then why don't they just get back together? Because, you know, what's keeping the part? Either way, no matter what kind of relationship they're gonna be in, there's gonna be pressure from the media and Paps and fans because they're both huge famous celebrities with massive fan bases, and Harry is shitload of fangirls, so no matter what girl he's with, his fans are going to lose their minds.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, as you know, we will talk about this on some other episode at some point, but I've fallen into a free Britney hole lately, and looking at how the Paps treated Britney Spears from like 2006 to 2008, I do understand how external pressures would be tough on Taylor.
Yeah.
But they didn't act like it was, right? Like, Taylor's right. Making everything about him and very publicly being like, these songs are about him, well, dragging right, that's the him thing, out to...
I understand if, you know, they were kind of caught in some pictures or something, and then they was kind of like, oh, yeah, we are dating. But, like, everything's, like, very publicized from the beginning. And, yeah, there's a couple of moments here and there that it's like, oh, you know, maybe that was genuine, maybe that wasn't organic spotting. Maybe a couple. Like, the Ed Sheeran restaurant one, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But... like, they're clearly not working their asses off to hide this relationship because their first meeting or whatever is public. They're being spotted together at a pool party. They're, you know, this and that. And she's saying this song's about him, implying this song's about him and that song's about him. They're having a New Year's kiss in Times Square. They're walking around Central Park together. They're going on a ski trip together. Like, even if there's elements of the relationship that are private or that no one knows about. Like, it's not a private relationship by any means. Like, they're clearly mining it for PR. Even if you want to say it's a genuine relationship, there's obviously a marketing element to this that, like, anyone with any amount of, like, you know, knowledge of how anything works beyond the very bare minimum, just like, oh yeah, they're so in love, is going to see that, like, there's an element of business to this no matter what, even if it's genuine. And, like, for example, Joe, there's clearly an element of still PR to Joe, even if I do think Joe is a genuine relationship, but she still uses it and play it up to her benefit because that's what everyone does. But this one is done a lot. And, like, if they're so private and secret and, like, they're so scared of the media tearing them apart, then why are they so in the public eye? Like, why not be sneaking around more?
Yeah. I mean, maybe they did sneak around more after they broke up. I mean, I think the idea is maybe they got back together and...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I
tried to make
it
work. But then, like, why is she being so shady towards him? On and off, seeming to reference him and just be weird about shit. Like,
yeah, that's true, too.
Acting like I knew your trouble is about him when it's definitely not. And, like, you know?
Yeah.
And then also, like... Now, this is kind of, like, what doesn't make sense is when she's asked about the song Wildest Dreams, and she says, like, how long until your publicist calls and tells you this isn't a good idea?
Yeah, that makes no sense. Same thing within Wonderland. Didn't they tell us don't rush into things? Why would her publicist say that when it's clearly, like, okay, there's, you'd have to, like, kind of work hard to convince me that they weren't set up, even if they were genuinely liked each other, she had a crush on him or whatever, like, clearly there was an element of, like, setting it up. Like, it was something that was being supported by their teams. And why wouldn't they?
Right.
It's perfect. Even if it was genuine connection.
I was about to argue that maybe they really liked each other, and the reason they couldn't be together is how freakish their publicists were about the PR aspect of it, and it drove a wedge between them. But then I said, then what are these quotes about her publicist telling her things aren't good ideas? I was trying to, like, I'm trying for all Hettler theories, because I mean, if you can prove it, like, I'm all for it. But, like, so I was trying to think, is there a world where Harry and Taylor really liked each other, but their publicist harassed them so much that that was the problem? But then literally she's talking about all the relationships on 1989 and saying, yeah, your publicist is going to call and tell you it's not a good idea. What? Not? It's not a good idea that you date Harry Styles?
Didn't, like, they tell us don't rush into things? That doesn't make sense either.
No, it doesn't, because, like...
Because it's either one or the other, you know?
Right? Like, who gives a shit if this girl, like, dates whoever? Like, nobody cares.
I could see an explanation for didn't they tell us don't rush into things, whispers, transcripts, whatever, all that shit, if it were a guy that was, like, John Mayer, for example. Like, obviously that song's not about John Mayer, but, like, you know, allegedly she's in this kind of relationship. Why would they be telling them don't rush into things if it's this perfect setup? Which it is, this perfect setup. Because it has to be one or the other. Either A, they really love each other and they want to keep everything private and secret, but their publicist and the media and their friends or whatever are pressuring them to make it public because it's good for their image. Or B, publicists or whoever are telling them you need to keep this on the down low, you need to be staying a secret, this isn't a good idea, your publicist is going to call you up and tell you it's not going to work out, they told you don't rush into things, I know places we won't be found. Like, it's one or the other, you know, you can't have it both ways, so you kind of have to choose a narrative with that, and neither of them works both ways, you know.
I mean, she could be just talking in general about different things. We don't know what quotes are about who, or necessarily, like, all you had to do is stay. It's supposed to be about Harry, but, you know, it could be about, she said it's just about a dream. So,
yeah.
Like, it could be about anyone, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's supposed to be about Diana and Gala World, but again, like, it's about a dream, so who knows who it's about, right? Like, so, we don't know what all is connected to what, but, like, to me, Haler's very, very obviously PR, even if it was real. And I cannot imagine their publicists saying, you know, or their peers, like, people around them being like, oh, don't rush into this, oh, this is a bad idea.
No. So it doesn't make any sense.
What relationships is she referring to? I mean, they right. can be other relationships with like non-famous guys or older guys that are bad news or whatever, but it's certainly not Harry.
Right, right. Because like it just doesn't really add up for it to be about Harry in that case, because there's not any reason they would tell them to not date, because even if their relationship is genuine, it was obviously also amazing for marketing / publicity, PR, whatever. So like, why would they ever be like, no, don't? No, they would be like, oh yeah, do it. And also, it seemed like their friends were encouraging it, you know, based on, so even if you want to say that they is like friends telling them not to rush into something. But like,
well, Justin Bieber was
and Selena are like, you know, and yeah, and then like all the Wonder Direction
boys. I mean,
Ed
Sheeran's hanging out with them all the time.
Ed Sheeran's hanging out with them. All the Wonder Direction boys are like,
who's
making
gonna tell them, like, don't rush. They're young and rich and in love. Like, supposedly
yeah, like, okay,
in love.
What, like, what people in their late teens, early 20s are like, no, don't rush into this relationship. Like, no,
don't
everyone's rushing.
It's like, no,
ship.
It's like, go get laid.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So
now, on December 14th is the last sort of real Haler thing, at least on this timeline. I think the crack shippers have like put a lot of other crazy connections together, but we're not going to get into those. Harry posts a picture of himself at Cannes, and Taylor had posted a picture of herself at Cannes in early 2013, and it is the same horizon and sunset. Like, they really do appear to be in the same place. So, I don't know. They might have just been in the same place. They both might have both gone to Cannes Film Festival. I think I'm saying that wrong. But maybe they went to be together. Like, I don't have any answer for that. Like, you know, the PR, you know, people didn't see them out together. Like, it's possible they were just both there and they were on the same side of a hotel and happened to take similar pictures, or I don't know, you know?
Do we know that, okay, I guess if Cannes or Cannes or whatever, like, I don't know, it's hard to say, like, do we know that Harry's is a throwback?
No.
Like, I wonder if they actually
could have just been in that hotel.
Or if that's just the Haler spin, you know?
Let me see. Hang on.
Because if it's not known to be a throwback, why can't he just be there and be at the same hotel if it's like a big hotel that celebrities stay at, you know?
Hold on a minute.
What?
I think he was just in Cannes, France. Cannes?
I don't know.
We're going to sound so dumb.
Whatever.
They were just there. One Direction was there. Y'all, it wasn't a throwback. One Direction was on December 14th. Look, I have receipts. One Direction was at Cannes for whatever reason. Like, they just happened to stay in the same hotel.
And what, Taylor had posted that earlier in the year?
In May. So it's not, they
oh
weren't
my God.
There.
What the
I
fuck?
Thought it was a fucking throwback and it was proof they had been together in May. Y'all, we just debugged all of Haler. It's all bullshit.
Like, why did they, so are we sure that they were there?
Yeah, I sent you an article.
Yeah, December 14th, 2013. What the fuck?
This has kept me up, but the way they said, I mean, they didn't insinuate anything. I just read into it because I'm always looking for secret hidden clues because I'm a psychotic gayler. But it
literally
just says,
all they said was Harry posted a picture of himself in Cannes, which is the same room / view Taylor posted before in early 2013. So yeah, that you read that as like, oh, they were both there, but like, no,
One Direction was just in France in this place,
in the same hotel,
and it's just sort of a funny coincidence.
Or it might not even be the same hotel for all we know. It could be something next door or something. I mean, it probably is, but who cares?
Same view.
I think celebrities usually do stay in the same hotels. Like, we know everyone and their fucking mother stayed at fucking Bowery Ballroom because everyone's William Bowery, you know?
Exactly.
So that's...
Every woman Taylor Swift has ever been left in a room alone with at one point has also stayed in the Bowery Hotel, and that's why there are 15 different William Bowerys. But yeah, Harry posted a picture of... This has kept me up because I was
Are you sure Taylor wasn't there?
She posted that in May 27th. Taylor posted that. Or, no, sorry, January 27th. This is an entire year before.
So, what's the correlation? Just they're both, happen to stay in the same hotel?
Yeah, that's it. That's like, all this person is talking about. Wow, that is such a great note to go out on for the timeline. Because, like, I am unconvinced. Like, the reach here is astronomical. They stayed in the same place. That's it. One Direction was there. I cannot believe I was just like, yeah, I don't know. I guess they were really together. Like, I was so defeated until I decided to fact check. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's it for the timeline. There's one other song I want to talk about because it's a timeline inconsistency. If you're game?
Absolutely. I think we should talk about some of this, a couple of the songs.
Yeah. She writes, "I wish you would," in October 2013. And it's supposedly about Harry. She tells a story. She says, like, oh, it's about a guy going by his ex's house. And, you know, he wishes she'd come out. She wishes he'd come back. Like, they sort of want each other back. And she's kind of says it's about a guy.
She said moved like one street down or something. Or,
moved like, close. Yeah. Now, of course, Harry does not move to LA until March 2014. But there are tweets proving that Diana bought a house in LA. Supposedly, somebody said it's close to Taylor's. I don't know where it is because I'm not like running around trying to find people's addresses. But it's supposedly close to Taylor's house in July of 2013. So, oh, I wish you would again is supposed to be about Harry, but he still lives in the UK at this time. Style, of course, is the loudest supposedly song about Harry, which. I mean, I kind of hate that you did point out that, like, well, it does seem like Haley is sort of floating in and out of one another's lives.
Yeah, although without that fucking hotel shit, I mean, I think the other stuff's kind of
they're arbitrary. Just at the same award shows.
Especially, yeah, which I mean, like, of course they are.
And they hung out with Courtney Cox.
Especially if he's allegedly, I'm assuming he's dating Kendall at this point.
Oh, I think for 5 days a week after the Courtney Cox thing, he's dating Kendall.
Which I also think is probably fake, but...
Oh, yeah, I think she did. Going out with Kendall, and then Taylor writes Style for some reason in, what, February of 2014? And we know, like, okay, Harry's with Kendall, and there's, like, no sightings of them together or anything. But we literally know Taylor's showing up on the Glee set just to see who's there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for Style, the Swiftgron, to me, Swiftgron works better for Style because...
You know, I find it so interesting that as far as we are aware, and correct me if I'm wrong, the only known hangout of the Glee cast with Taylor is Diana's 26th birthday. Aside from her with Corey and Cord, which is a separate thing. Do we know of any other times where they were supposed to have hung out together?
Maybe Halloween of 2012?
Yeah. Maybe.
There's a picture of... It looks like Naya and Taylor.
Really? What picture are you talking about?
I don't know where it is, and I haven't been able to... let me see if I can...
Because I'm just thinking that Kevin said we'd all hung out with Taylor a lot, which, like, I honestly don't think she dated Corey or Cord. Corey was way older, which, like, and whatever, but I just don't see it, honestly. I mean, maybe they went on a couple dates, but I don't really think she dated either of them. And definitely not enough where it would have been like she was around their friends all the time. But yeah, as far as we know, there's only one, and like you are saying, maybe two, like, times where we know she hung out with the other cast. But yeah, Kevin's saying we hung out with Taylor.
Well, remember when Naya said on that red carpet?
I was gonna say that too. And then Naya says, oh, I know her, you know. And I mean, she could say, I know her just from meeting her once or twice. Sure. I mean, yeah, because you do know her. You've seen her passing a couple times. But I just think it's interesting, you know, if you think about both of those things, because as far as we know, there's only one confirmed, I think, hangout of the Glee cast with Taylor, and that would be Diana's 26th birthday, other than Corey and Cord. But like Naya, Kevin, Jenna, whoever, it's only that one time. I mean, that's public. That we know of. Yeah, that's public.
Yeah. Which means Taylor was maybe hanging out with the Glee cast a lot in secret.
Yeah.
Where they weren't tweeting about it. They weren't Instagramming about it. Because I'll tell you, those L-Chat people that were tracking Taylor back in 2012 would, in 2013, like, they absolutely would have noticed, oh, Jenna Ushkowitz is tweeting about hanging out with Taylor Swift. Cool. Oh, Kevin and Taylor just got pictured together at a bar. Like, they would have noticed that shit. Like, it was not happening. Like, they were watching Twitter. They were really good about keeping up with all this stuff. And yeah, like, in public, the Glee cast and Taylor was not hanging out, even though they all acted like they were pretty good friends with her, or at least Kevin and Naya, who were both really tight with Diana, did. Like, we had all hung out with Taylor a lot when?
Right, where? Right. It's interesting that he said it like that, you know? We hung out with her a lot. Like,
well, his voice kind of cracks and he sounds so awkward when he says it.
Yeah, like, it is kind of weird. I mean, like I said, I try not to read into things like too excessively because I don't want to sound like the whole body language experts and shit.
Right.
But, you know, it is a bit odd that he says it like that. Like, you know, oh, we hung out with her a lot because it's like,
a lot.
Did you? I mean,
not that we know of. I mean, of course, right. Celebs can like do things in private.
Yeah, of course. But still, like, you know, just saying it's kind of like, oh, to my knowledge at that time, the only, like, I did not, and I was like a big Naya stan, and I was also a big Diana stan. I didn't think Naya and Taylor were friends, or Jenna or Kevin or anything like that. Like, I knew Diana and Taylor were friends, and then I knew that she had like a little bit like of rumors with Corey. But mm-hmm. I mean, there wasn't like a thing within the Glee fandom where everyone was like, oh, Taylor Swift's friends with all of them. It was only Taylor Swift's friends with Diana. Like, it wasn't like she's friends with Naya and Heather and Jenna and Kevin and everyone. And, like, she goes to events with them, or they're like are seen hanging out. Like, but, I mean, I never heard anything like that, which doesn't mean much because I didn't hear everything. But, you know, I don't have any memory of it being something where like Taylor's close with the Glee cast.
No, I mean, I just don't think she was, but like, it's funny how they're all like, yeah, we hung out with Taylor. Oh, we know Taylor. And then like, it was all, whatever it was, either, you know, it was happening in secret, or maybe they knew Taylor so well just because she was dating one of the best friends. Like, yeah. Either way, like, why is the Glee cast being so secretive about hanging out with Taylor, and then down the years and years later all being like, oh yeah, we know that bitch! Like, it's kind of weird, like, but, I have seen a picture. I don't know where, I don't know when, I tried to find it. I just Googled Naya Rivera and Taylor Swift, and literally it's just manips, like crack ships.
Of course.
The ultimate enemies of lovers. I don't know. Like, there's a picture I've seen. It might have been on the Wayback Machine archive of Yumi and Charlie. I don't know. But I swear it was a picture of Halloween where Naya and Taylor were both in the picture. I have no idea where I saw it, and it might not be them, you know, my eyes are bad, but like, other than that, Diana's 26 is the only public,
mm-hmm.
you know, the only thing we know. And of course they could all be hanging out in private, but it is kind of weird that that's like the only time it made it to Twitter, the only time there were people throwing up pictures on Instagram. Like,
well, I think they were hanging out with private, but I think it was because they were all friends with Diana.
Right. I think they were hiding something. Like, but for me, like, the whole style thing, how she says, you know, that you float in and out of their life and they always mm-hmm. sort of keep coming back to you. Diana and Taylor makes so much more sense to me, because like, literally back in 2010, Taylor starts hanging out with Corey Monteith, and like, I'm sure they met. Like, if she's hanging mm-hmm. out with him that often, like, I just, you know, and then she's hanging out with Cord. Like, she's familiar with the Glee cast, and then they are hanging out in public. Like, Diana starts tweeting at Ashley Avignon in summer of 2011, and, you know, of course I don't think they're dating or anything, you know, that far back, but I do think Taylor falls for her in fall of 2011, and then once Taylor gets off tour, you know, 6 months later, they become inseparable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, like, that makes a lot more sense than we hung out for a weekend in April and then dated for 3 months in the fall. And then we kept showing up at the same award shows. Like.
Right. That's not really like, unless you do think they were secretly back together at some point, it doesn't really make sense for Style to be about them.
I mean, I guess anything's possible.
Yeah.
But
there's not really like they were back together just because they were friendly at award shows here and there.
I mean, even like through all that 2013 stuff, the, you know, where supposedly Haler might have been like reconnecting after their public breakup in January. First of all, why didn't they just get back together?
Right.
Publicly. Because, like, first of all, it would have been good PR. And secondly, like, what is keeping those two straight, you know, supposedly straight people, you know, hot millionaires apart? Like, nothing. Why not just get back together? And then Swiftgron is like doing the whole on and off thing a lot, to me, a lot louder than Haler. Like, I mean, Haler is pictured together once, I guess, after they break up. But guess what? Swiftgron is pictured together that fall too. Like, they go to the fun concert. So that's my closing thoughts. Like, Swiftgron makes more sense than Haler, and neither of them add up 100%.
Yeah.
Neither of them are perfect, but Swiftgron is better.
Yeah.
To me. Except, you know, publicly they said they were dating each other and Haler, which would be nice if Diana and Taylor would do that.
Yeah.
If you're going on, you know, all the clues and stuff, Swiftgron is better. So, yeah. I think we're going to leave it there. Everybody follow me on Tumblr at swiftgrongetmarried.tumblr.com. And stay safe in 2020. And let's manifest a Swiftgron reunion in 2021 and Swiftgron getting married in 2022.
Yeah.
We just recorded for like 6 hours.
I know.
I'm glad Craig finally decided to work.